You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
What's going on, everybody? This is the wild-eyed headbanger, Mad Max Morrison, and you are listening to the MGB Wrestling Podcast. Get in the pit, slam dance, mosh, 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 yeah!
Today we have a very special guest. Not only is he a wrestler, he's a rock star, he's an actor. We have Max Morrison. How are you doing?
What's going on, everybody? How are you feeling today?
Oh, we're hanging in there. I'm at the end of the quarter for school. Mason's about done for the year. I think he's got one more day, even though we're only at the end of April. So we're getting through things. We're getting through stuff. All right, I know we've got a lot of questions, Mason. I think we've had more questions than we've probably had for anybody else. Let's get it on the road straight away. Go ahead.
We will get into the wrestling in a little bit, but we found many other interesting things we want to ask you about first. We know that you have appeared in films. What kind of films are they, and what was your favorite?
So, as far as films go, so far I've been in two, and they were independent horror. So it was like low budget, cheesy, but I've also been in a couple of music videos as well. And the music I use actually when I come out to the ring is this band called Iron Reagan. I was part of their music video. The singer Tony was beating me up. We got into a fight in the video. But I'd have to say my favorite that I've done so far probably would be Deathboard, which is a Ouija board movie. It's coming out. Actually, I got word today you guys are getting the exclusive. It'll be finished next month.
Cool.
We're just waiting for this COVID thing to clear up so we can get a theater release and then get it out to everybody. But that was a fun time. Everybody on set was awesome. Brad Twiggs, an amazing director, Danny Brooks, everybody that was on set. It was just fun. It was so much fun.
I read on IMDb that the estimate budget for one of your films was $10. Is that true?
Which one was that?
I don't think we actually wrote down which one it was, but I know you saw that and you showed it to me. And it said afterwards estimated in parentheses, so.
Oh no, but that's incredible. I know some of my personal films have been budgeted probably like $10. That sounds about right. Sometimes I'll just click on the video and have a couple beverages. That's about $10, right?
That's like one of their standard questions now from the boys. Like when we're watching a film, they're like, how much did it cost to make? How much did it make at the cinema? So yeah, when you saw that one, that kind of stood out a little bit.
That's incredible. I love it. But I know we did work on a shoestring budget on a lot of these films, so, but that's part of the charm of doing it.
I really want to watch one of your films. What is the rating of these films?
You're probably going to have to wait a little bit.
Told you. Told you.
What rating are they?
Oh.
I'm pretty sure they're going to be at least R. Horror movies typically are, and the kind of shenanigans in these movies, yeah, unless your dad's cool. I grew up in a different time where when I was like 6 or 7 years old, that was the first time I'd seen Hellraiser.
Oh my gosh.
I was watching Tales from the Crypt and Chucky and all this stuff when I was like 5, 6 years old, 7 years old. But that was a different time. I grew up at the tail end of the 80s, so that was, but nowadays it's a little different. I think this might be a little too wild for your taste right now.
I'm glad this is coming from you, because I know he wasn't going to believe me when I told him. I was like, nah, it's going to be R-rated. You're going to have to wait a little bit.
Where can other people go watch these films?
Nowhere yet, but we're hoping to get some DVD distribution here soon. Hopefully I'll have more information for you on Deathboard here in like the next month. But if you want to watch the Patronizer video by Iron Reagan, it's on YouTube.
What is the scariest thing in one of your movies?
I know in Deathboard there was a really crazy scene where this person got fried and their head came out of an oven.
You're not helping me here. He's going to want to watch this even more now.
Yeah, but that that's the joy of being young, you know, that this kind of stuff, it's intriguing, it's fun, it's, you know, fantasy.
All right, now, I actually saw on IMDb for that Reagan patronizer, you're actually listed as stunt coordinator and stunt actor. So, can you give an example of what type of stunts you did exactly?
Well, because a lot of these guys have never done bar fights or really gotten in a fight at all. Me and four other wrestlers, we were in there, and we helped choreograph all the fight scenes and piece things together, and we did our own stunts. I mean, being wrestlers, it kind of goes hand in hand, you know what I mean?
Well, that was like the follow-up question as well. With that being sort of your specialism as well, does that mean that you're one of the people that sort of is the lead person when it's time to decide when to do spots or what the spots are going to be?
A lot of times. I mean, it also depends on, you know, who you're working with. It depends on the experience level of, you know, whoever you're working with. But I know in a film, because of my background, people will come ask me, you know, for advice and consultation, and because I've done a good enough job that my stuff's believable, so they trust me.
Now, to me, it seems like acting is something that goes really well with wrestling anyway. Now, I was listening to the Edge documentary recently, and he actually said that he was like a terrible actor, or he thought he was to begin with. And that kind of surprised me. So the similarities, I think, are obvious. What's some of the differences between the two?
There's really not much. I know as far as like wrestling goes, unless you're, I don't know, it depends on your character. I know for me, I'm an extension of myself, so I'm not necessarily acting. I'm more or less just amping up what my personality already. But I could totally see where Edge is talking about, because I feel he's one of those cats that does the same thing. But when you're acting, you've just like wrestling, you've got to get into the mindset of what you're getting yourself into. Like, you got to really deep dive and understand the psychology of the scene and the story, the situation, and how you're going to present certain situations, how you're going to react in certain situations, how you're going to react to people, which is exactly what we do in wrestling when we go out to the ring with a crowd, is how we react to them and how they react to us, and it's how we figure out what we do next.
Now, we normally get random questions from Jackson, our six-year-old, but once he knew that you were an actor, I think he had something very specific, so go ahead, Mason.
Why were you in your films?
Now, remember, this is coming from a six-year-old, and we didn't change any word in. We left it exactly as he asked the question. Why were you in the films?
Because I'm awesome and they asked me to. I'm just kidding. It was something that's definitely been on my bucket list forever, and I had some opportunities come my way, so I would have been a fool not to.
I think his follow-up question is a little bit more sensible, or certainly easier to interpret.
What was your character in the films?
So in Deathboard, I played this character named Milton Harris. And he's kind of like, you're a little young for this, but your dad might know the reference, but he's a little bit like Sling Blade, where he's a little dim, but at the same time, he's pretty smart, and he's got his ear to the ground. He's the neighbor of the girls that move into this house, and he's looking out for everybody. He's got the best intentions, but he's in the wrong place at the right time, every time. So everybody looks at him like he's, you know, creepy, but he's trying to help, but he doesn't really help anybody.
How could you describe your image and style of wrestling?
I would probably just say I am a mosh pit of metal mayhem. I'm the wild-eyed headbanger, and I slam dance over everybody, and I am unpredictable.
VCW has some big name wrestlers on their card. What was it like to compete against wrestlers like Gangrel?
That was incredible. Him and Kevin Thorne are just incredible wrestlers to begin with, incredible characters. I grew up on Gangrel, so to be able to get in a ring and get beat up by him was a dream come true.
I actually watched that match last night, and yeah, it was an absolute treat to watch. With not being able to go to live wrestling right now, and we can't always get down to VCW because it's like 3 hours for us. PowerSlam TV, there's quite a few of those that we haven't seen, so that was one that sort of caught my eye straight away with names like Gangrel.
What were your experiences with meeting Ron Simmons and the Animal?
God, I love Ron. So I was a big fan of Ron Simmons growing up. He was always cool. I was a big fan of APA. I was a big fan of Doom. I loved his Farouk stuff. Nation Domination. So when I finally got to meet him, I was backstage at an AML show with Global Force Wrestling, and I got to shake his hand and talk to him for a little bit. And like a year later, he remembered me at a Shockwave show. And me and my old partner, Rock, from Noise Pollution, we were fighting the Hounds of Hades. And we went out there, had a banger of a match, came back. And Ron came back to give us some very positive words. And we got a seal of approval. And ever since then, I was just like, okay, that's cool. And then he's just a sweetheart anyway. Like, he's down for a joke because he did this thing with Livid the Clown and the dog. It was pretty funny. But that and Road Warrior Animal was cool. I went over there. I just shook his hand, asked him, be like, at the time, I was still, like, greener than grass. And I was like, I'm aspiring to be a tag team wrestler. You're one of my favorites, and you're one of the guys that's done it. What kind of advice do you have for me? And he pulled me aside and just whispered a bunch of stuff in my ear, and I wrote it down. And I was like, this is incredible. So just to be able to meet these kind of guys is – it's better than you would imagine, especially when you're able to learn from them, and they turn out to be super, super cool people.
We have talked to Benjamin Banks before about VCW's Liberty Lottery. What is it like to be in a match but not know what number you're going in?
It's pretty exciting. I wouldn't necessarily say it's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting because, you know, it's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. I know the last couple times I've, you know, kind of got myself in a little bit of trouble in the Liberty Lottery because, well, me and Casey Carlisle got into it a couple years ago, and she about, you know, beat me up. And then Banks, my best. So if there's something you ever notice, you need to, if you ever see him on the ground in one of these Liberty Lotteries, you need to pay attention to me and people's shoes. I'm just going to say that much. But Banks eliminated me last year, and I'm still pretty upset about that because that's my pal.
At VCW in October of 2018, you wrestled twice in one night. What was it like to do that?
Tiring, but not too much. I mean, adrenaline's going. So to be able to go out and perform a couple times is always pretty exciting. It's pretty neat, especially if people are into it both times you go out the curtain. You know, it's fun. Anytime I get to wrestle, it's fun. So,
what were the circumstances of that? Do you know?
I'm trying to remember back which match exactly you're talking about.
I just suddenly thought afterwards, I was like, sometimes, like, obviously if it's like a tournament, that could have been like a semi-final, then a final, then that would be slightly different.
It was a tag team and a singles match.
Oh.
I remember that much. But could you tell us about your match with Frankenstein?
Yeah, I will gladly tell you about Frankenstein. That was fun. So when I first started wrestling, there was this company called Gouge. I forget what the acronym stands for, from North Carolina. And there's this wrestler down there named Leo Riker. And he can't catch a break to save his life, but he's incredible. He's a gem. And his deal was the fact that he could never win a match. So every week or every show, he'd change his gimmick to see if he could find something that stuck. And when he fought me that time, he was Frankenstein's monster. And me and Rock were both horror fans, so we had to think back. And funny enough, the monster was scared of me. So that made it interesting. And he's beating me up, and I was almost down for the count. And I look at Rock, I'm like, Rock, what do I do? How am I supposed to be Frankenstein? And he thought, luckily, he knows the old monster movies. He grabbed a lighter out of his pocket and threw it to me. So as soon as he came or turned around, I flicked the lighter at him, scared Frankenstein. I was able to put him in my hold, and I won. That was fun.
Have you ever had any injuries that made you take time off wrestling?
I've had a few. I had one at VCW that was pretty lousy, but it was a learning lesson. It was like a couple of years ago, we were fighting the Hall Stars with Noise Pollution. We did a Norfolk street fight, and I caught an elbow wrong in the ring, and I ended up puncturing a hole in my esophagus.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was this thing called subcutaneous emphysema, and I spent a night in trauma for it, but it was okay. I'm pretty tough. And then I broke my foot in the same match. I took a suplex on the stage, and I just turned my foot wrong, broke my foot. But When I first started wrestling, I broke my left wrist at training. I fractured my nose a couple times, bumps and bruises. I got a dent in my eyebrow. I was wrestling Porkchop Johnson in Richmond, and we both came at a headbutt at the same time, and it was like two pumpkins just colliding, and it was disgusting. But that one was fun. I got a cool picture out of it at the end, just blood everywhere, so it was worth it.
If you could wrestle or tag with anyone, who would that wrestler be and why?
Does it have to be like a big name, or it could be anybody?
It could be anyone, past and present.
Wow, that's gonna make me think for a second. I would like to wrestle Chris Jericho, because I look up to him like in all kinds of different ways, just wrestling, rock, life, all that stuff. Because me, I feel like we've walked down like a similar path. I would love to be able to pick his brain, so I want to wrestle him. And if I could tag with somebody, I want to tag with Damian Wayne, because I got to redeem myself from some stupidness I did when I was green.
All right, we'll leave a little awkward pause to see if he's going to spill his guts on this one. No, all right, I don't think so. All right, now the question I'm going to lead off with is, do you consider yourself more of a singles wrestler or a tag team wrestler?
Really consider myself one or the other. I mean, I was a tag team specialist for most of my career, and now I've just been focusing on singles, but I can do both.
The reason I'm asking is, when we look back, because we've been starting to incorporate some of our old reviews, like we'll go back and look at the matches that you, listen back to the matches that you appeared in. Most of the time it was actually singles. When I went back and started watching some of those VCW matches, it was the Noise Pollution. It was you and Rock together. So it was kind of like watching last night, it was kind of like seeing a whole different side of you that I hadn't seen before. So it was amazing for me, that shift where it was like, wow. Mason, I put this in because I knew you would want to know, because you actually said, can I ask Max the question about the thumb? And I said, no, you can't ask it. But if you want to find it, it's on PowerSlam TV. You named it. It was Nightmare on Granby Street, 2018, and it's 62 minutes in. If you want to watch it, you can watch it, because it's very entertaining. But I don't think we need to ask any questions about it. But that was the match with Gangrel, that's for sure. I only figured this out last night, Mason. I actually had to change all my notes. I thought the first time that we'd actually seen you, Max, was actually at VCW in January 2019. And actually, it wasn't. I got it totally wrong. That was actually a singles match. It was actually Rock was wrestling by himself. It said it was his debut as a singles artist for VCW. I found out, and I've started editing my notes. Like, if I type in Max, M-A-X-X, there's only one person that's coming up. It's you. We missed an event. The first time we actually saw you, we didn't even credit you in the match. I found this out by accident last night. I saw that you featured in one of the events at EWA, and I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure he appeared at the first time we went to EWA. And I looked, we didn't even credit you as appearing in this match. Mason, this is one of our biggest matches that we've ever talked about. We've referenced this so many times, and we didn't even give Max a credit for this. The first time we saw you was at War Games, EWA Maryland. It was your birthday. We talk about this match multiple times, and I think Facebook Live actually quoted the result wrong, because we didn't know many people at that time. It was our first time there, and we just copied down the results. You were not even credited in that match. So, Mason, who can you remember who was actually in that match?
The Inside Out?
No, oh. The War Games match. The one where you kept saying, where's the other cage going to come from? We're like, no, there's just one cage for this.
I think Dan O'Hare?
No, that's Nova Pro. All right, shall I let you off the hook then, Mason?
Yeah.
All right, it was the Dark Horses, Mason Martin, Tim Taylor, and they defeated the New Army, Austin Everett, and Max Morrison. That wasn't even in my notes. I went back and watched that match again last night, because I actually listened on the commentary. I said that was the best match of the whole night, and we didn't even give you a mention. What can you remember about that night?
That was actually my debut at EWA.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That was my first night.
And I seem to remember then also what we found out. I think it was Kevin Mears' debut as well. Because when you go to a new organization, you don't know necessarily who the established stars are. But we found out later a lot of people who we hadn't realized were kind of making their debut. I love that match. Mm-hmm. I watched it again. I'm going to put the link for that match because it's on YouTube. I'm going to put it in the notes so people can go back and watch it if they would like to. I thought it was thoroughly entertaining. I actually remember seeing you on the outside when we walked in because you were selling merch, and it was like, oh, it sort of gets your attention. You had lots of things there. We could see it, but we didn't know who you were at that time. So we kind of walked around like, oh, okay, we'll watch the matches and we'll see. But yeah, that was actually our first match that we actually saw you. And we did actually review it. I think one of the reasons was we weren't actually going to review that match because we were like, it's your birthday, you don't have to review it. And then we were like, this was awesome. We love EWA. It was like, let's just do it off the top of our heads and see what we can remember. So that was the first time that we saw you. Second time we saw you, that was also actually EWA Maryland. And you were facing the Grimy Scots, and actually you were tagging with Kevin Mears. So, now you actually commented, Mason, because it said it was with noise pollution, and you actually said that at the time. Isn't that Rock Richards? So, I guess that's one of our questions as well. What is the tag team Noise Pollution? Does that just mean that you're part of it? Is Kevin Mears part of a trio with you?
No. When me and Kevin were tagging, that was a completely different thing. EWA actually just put us together. Yeah, it was after that match, we had really good chemistry, we worked well together, and they were like, well, you guys both look tough, and we don't know what to do with you yet, so we'll go ahead and put you together in a tag team, and that's what we did, and we dominated for probably like 3 months, like 3-4 months, but Noise Pollution, no, that was me and Rock.
Okay.
Because we got put together by Damian Wayne. Wayne, when we were training, saw you guys, or saw us, and was like, hey, you guys look cool, you look a lot alike, you got a bunch of music the same, how about you guys be a tag team? So we put our brains together, and then I put my noggin through everybody Rock would throw me into, and that's what we did. That was Noise Pollution.
Now, the third time we actually saw you, we could probably brought Jackson down for this one. He remembers this one perfectly. Orange County Fair, UCW. And you actually did double duty on that day as well, because you had a singles match with Demented Brad, and at the end it was like, I don't know if it was a Royal Rumble, a Battle Royal, whatever it was, everybody was all in the ring, and as soon as we mentioned it to Jackson, he was like, oh, Max laid in the ring at the end of the match. He was there for ages. I was like, yeah, that was it.
Yeah. That was a fun one. So even the lead up to that show was outstanding, because they put me on the radio, and I had to do a series of promos, and I trashed the town, and I'm really good at it. That was the terrible part. It's just I'm really good at trashing towns, and I got so much heat from the people in town. I got heat from all these parents who thought I was like hurting kids because I threw a soccer ball at somebody, and then I got a lot of heat from a bunch of kids and some parents because they thought I was going to hurt these goats, when honestly I was just making fun of them. And then I got on the radio and said a bunch of mess, and I made a lot of people upset. And then I actually was almost accosted with a tire iron at Sheetz trying to get gas because they were not happy with me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it was fun. I loved it.
Wow.
Like, yes, it's working.
Jeez.
But yeah, that whole night I went out there, I had the first match with Bradley, and that was a banger. Anytime me and Bradley get in the ring, we just beat the snot out of each other, because that's one of my best friends, and we're so tight, and we've known each other for so long, but we're both brutal and just aggressive, and we take it out on each other just when we can, and it's fun. And then I did go out a third time that night because I cost Dewan O'Neal his shot at the title, because the ref went down, and then I tapped out for him, allegedly. That's what I heard.
I remember that. And I think Chaos Superstar was pretty much trying to get you the whole event. I know he cut a few promos as well, and that was the main purpose of the show, as far as he was concerned, from what I can remember.
Stick up for his town, because he's from that stinky place. He's from Orange County. He didn't like that I was bagging his hometown, so he tried to get Bradley on me, and it didn't work. And then, you know, I did what I did, and then at the end of the night, I did again what I did again, but then, you know, it all came back around. I got a taste of my own medicine, and yeah,
I think Jackson's comment was, because we had to, as we were leaving, because it was starting to get dark at that point, so we were leaving and we were heading to North Carolina for the next day, and I think when we got to the top of the hill, he's like, Max just rolled out the ring, but you were there for, we waited around for a while, because he wanted to shake hands with Dewan, and it was a few minutes, but yeah, it was very memorable for that moment.
All I remember is when I woke up, that like everybody was like, the ring was like mostly tore down. I was like, I had no idea what's going on.
Now, fourth time was actually when we got an autograph from you. Jackson actually got you confused. He actually thought it was, said, oh look, Savage Gentleman's there. I was like, that's not Savage Gentleman. So he confused you for Savage Gentleman, but now we knew who you were as a character. We came, we got our autograph. We were rooting for you in that Liberty Lottery, and I know you already talked about that earlier. We will play that clip. I was actually wondering, do you get mistaken for other people?
Yeah, more than I'd like, but... You know, it's okay. So, I've gotten mistaken for Savage Gentleman a couple times. I get mistaken for Tommaso Ciampa, like, all the time. I get told I look like Captain Spaulding from the Rob Zombie movies. And I'm just like, that's my dad. I tell people that's my dad.
I'm trying to think who Banks does that with. Is it? Oh, Mark Henry, I think. I think people have said that he would look like Mark Henry or something. He's like, oh, that's my dad.
Yeah,
because
that's his dad.
Yeah, there you go. That's a perfect way to get around it. Now, last couple of times we've seen you, it's actually been at the new show in Richmond, UEW. So, fifth time we saw you was at Gotcha 6, Sledge Gibson. Now, I actually listened back to that one. We still can't we couldn't figure out the structure of that tournament at all. Like, we kind of figured out, how did you manage to get a bye? You only had to, you missed the whole first round. Sledge actually had to face, I can't remember who it was, and then he had to face you. It might have been Eddie Diamond, actually. He had to face you in the second round. How did you get a bye?
We're not going to discuss that.
Oh, okay. Because we sat at the tournament, we're like, we have no idea what's going on here. Like, how come some people are fighting? And then they're like, oh, there's the next round. And they're like, okay, where did Max come from in this situation? All right. That, I guess some things are better left unsaid. Let's skip to the last time we saw you. Boiling Point, the match with Ethan Cross. We talked to Ethan a few weeks ago. And the thing that we said about Ethan is, the thing that really impresses me about him is his ability to sell. He sold so well in that match. Every time he gets flipped in the air, he seems to go 1 foot higher than everybody else. When he lands on the ground, his back arches more than anybody else's, and he really sells the pain. And that was the thing we said about you as well. You really sold well in that match as well. I'm going to guess, though, as an actor, that must come a lot easier to you, right?
Well, then it comes easy when you're not exactly selling. This stuff hurts. The most I do is, I guess, I don't know, I'm known for making faces. My faces are kind of crazy. So, yeah, I get smashed around and I'm all, ah!
Now, the idea that we had, our last interview was with Cabana Mandan. And we said it would be a great idea for us to go back and look at, now we've got a catalogue of 2 years worth of podcasts, go back and insert some of those matches so we can listen to what we thought about the match at that time and having discussed them with you a little bit. We had to apologize to Cabana Mandan. We're going to have to apologize to you as well. I counted 6 matches then. 1, we didn't even credit you as being in the match. 1, we didn't even mention the winner. 1, we weren't sure who the winner was. The Liberty Lottery, we knew that one. We knew that Sledge won in your first match at UEW. And we didn't take any notes for the Ethan Cross match. We didn't even say who the winner was, Mason. Once again, we were like, I think Max won that one. All right, for the record, can you remember? Did you win or did Ethan win?
I know for a fact that Sledge shouldn't have won my match because I had him down. That stupid referee got in the way. No, I totally beat Ethan.
Okay. That's what we thought, but we couldn't remember, so I thought it was good to ask officially just to clear that up. Now, there's probably going to be kind of a long time. There was actually supposed to be a match, UEW event this weekend, actually, as we're recording, on the 25th. Now it's been moved back to July. We'll have to see if that happens. I think it's July 10th, somewhere around that time. I know it's after Independence Day, probably about a week after Independence Day. One thing that happened right at the end of that event is, and I didn't actually put this down in my notes, it's something, well, I don't know why I'm not even asked, this seems like the most obvious thing. So, Sledge looked like he was possibly going to become the UEW champion. He had a 10 count, we counted 10 from the people. Max is shaking his head right now for the benefit of the tape. If that referee had been awake, it would have been a 10 count. what happened right at the end of that match? Suddenly, it looks like there's a new faction that's formed in UEW. It looks like they're going to be the new superpower. So who is that superpower, and what brought that on? Was that first match against Sledge? Is that what brought that on?
Let's just say that referee was totally sleeping on the job, and I'm glad they were. This is the dawn of a new era, because United Elite, it's a brand new place. Yeah, I guess I won't dance around the bush. We are the Lords of Chaos. It's me, it's Rock, it's Damien.
That was the name that we were missing. That was what we didn't know, the Lords of Chaos. We mentioned who the people were, but we didn't know who it was at that time.
Well, Chaos also is an acronym for Kill All Other Stars.
I certainly didn't know that either. That was the one question I didn't write down, and it was the thing that was the most impressive thing right at the end of that event, because we didn't see that one coming at all, and we weren't expecting that.
Put a little exclamation point on this last question. It should have been painfully obvious that, you know, we all were getting together in the first place. Damien trained me and Rock. Me and Rock were once a team. We're all in the same place at the same time. It's a family affair. So, of course, we're going to be together.
Commander Man Dan told us it's like parallel universes, though. When you go to all these different organizations, you get to do different things. So what happens in one organization doesn't necessarily carry through to another one. So, and I didn't know you were a tag team at that point. I didn't know until last night. That was the first time that I... Because we didn't go to VCW in 2018. I think 2019 was the first one that we went to. All right, go ahead. I know Jackson had a question.
Would you like to be a ring announcer or a referee?
I'd do both. I think they're both fun. I think being a referee would be pretty fun. Wouldn't be the best referee because I'd be getting involved and probably, like, making my own decisions. But, you know, I definitely would do it.
Can you tell us about how many tattoos and why you got them?
That's a good one. I think I've got like 20 tattoos. I couldn't tell you why I've got all of them. I have certain...
What's your favorite tattoo then? How about that? Or what was your first tattoo?
My first tattoo, I got this little rinky-dink star in my ankle when I was like 18. Like, I want a tattoo. Let me go ahead and get it over with. And I caught a bunch of heat from my folks over it, but whatever. As you do. And then over time, I accumulated a bunch more. I think my favorite one, though, is the one I got probably a few months ago. I've got I got Cactus Jack.
Nice.
I got Cactus Jack on my leg, and he's done like the keep on trucking guy.
Did you get to chat to him when he was at VCW?
I did. No, not at VCW. I actually got to show it to him when I was at Adrenaline in Maryland. Because he was there, and I had told him, and he said, "Put your leg on the table. Let's get a picture." So I've got a photo on my social media of me and him with my leg on the table, and he's giving it the props.
Who was your favorite teacher, and or what was your favorite subject in school?
I have a couple. I'm actually friends with my favorite teacher still, because I was a marching band kid, and I did it for a few years, and it went hand in hand with my career. But John Boyd. Over at Princess Anne High School in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Yeah, I go ahead and put it over. Because I was in the Marching Cavaliers, man. That dude, he put me through the paces and taught me how to be one tough dude. And I went through and gained so much and learned so much from that guy. And me and him became drinking buddies over the years. And I talk to him all the time. And he gets really excited. He shares all my stuff. He loves... Be like, one of my students is this pro wrestler. He's doing this. He's doing that. All these movies, all this stuff. And me and him still talk like every other day. So that's who I love.
Did you play any sports in school?
I did a little bit early on. I played soccer recreationally. And then once I got into school, I did like 2 years of wrestling. So I thought that's how you got in WWF.
What advice would you give to a young wrestler to help them reach their potential?
Just stick with it. Get strong. Stick with fitness. Definitely read a lot of books. Watch a lot of matches. Focus on psychology. That and keep your nose clean, because the more you get in trouble, the less you get to do, the less fun you get to have. So if you keep your nose clean and, you know, keep your body straight and, you know, learn, pick your brain, study, you're gonna get where you want to be.
I think another wrestler's told you to keep your nose clean more than once, right? I think Benjamin might have told you that.
Can you tell our listeners where we can find you on social media and where we can find your merch?
You can find me on Facebook, Mad Max Morrison. That's 2 D's, 2 X's. You can find me on Instagram. It's the same thing with underscores. Twitter, Mad Max NP. I'm on IMDb. I just started a Twitch, which I'm trying to get off the ground. It's Mad as a Max, 2 D's, 2 X's. I play a lot of video games, and I definitely show it off. You can find my shirts. You can find some of my merch over at ProWrestlingTees.com. I got a store over there. We just had a sale, so definitely go get there, because I have a bunch of new shirts now. I've got stickers. I've got magnets, so if you want that kind of stuff, just shoot me a line. Find me online, and we'll make it happen.
We will post these details in the episode notes so people can find them there, too. Thank you for appearing. We hope to see you in UEW in July. Enjoy the rest of your day, Max.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Next one. And we talked about this at the intermission. They said that there was a War Games match, and you said straight away, I don't see a second ring. I was thinking the same.
I don't see pods. I don't see a second steel cage.
Yeah, and I was like, are they going to set that up at the intermission or anything? And at the intermission, nope. So they had a War Games match. It wasn't a War Games
match. And the problem with that was that the ring was in the middle of there. Mm-hmm. You'd have to scoot the ring over too.
They didn't. So the only thing that made it a War Games match was they started with two people in the ring. And then after, I think it was 3 minutes for the first one, they said they were going to put one person in.
But it ended up.
But the times were all random.
Yeah.
At one point, I think they forgot to send in the first person, because I saw people rushing backstage. And then they sent one person in, and then it felt like 30 seconds later, the next person came in. It was kind of weird. And on one of them, they sent another person. I'm like, another one in 30 seconds? They stopped the music, and they stopped the lights, put the theme music on. Nobody came out.
Yeah.
And then 30 seconds later, somebody else came out.
But it was from the other team.
But then I think what happened was...
4-on-2.
I think what happened was those two people, for some reason, and they never explained what happened, was, like, they'd almost got taken out or something, and then they both came in together. Like, I don't know, they tied them up backstage or something. I know, but obviously we didn't know the story. On a WWE thing, you would have seen the clip on the TV, and you would have known why they didn't come out straight away. On this one, I don't know. Now, it could be on the War Match, their version might be just a random person comes out, but it still never explained why two came out at once and not one.
They look like a tag team.
They did, because it was the Dark Horses. Okay. So it was kind of a strange thing about it. What you got for this match? I got a few things.
I have that second guy from the team that had the Dark Horses.
Uh-huh.
He came out and he did nothing. He was like really small.
That would be Tim Taylor.
Yeah.
He was the debut in Tim Taylor. I have that part. I had originally a different name written down, and then when I looked at the results, that person wasn't mentioned, and it said the debut in Tim Taylor, and I figured out from the picture that's who it was.
I
disagree with it. I thought he actually did quite a bit. I thought he was quite energetic. I thought he had he reminded me a little bit of Enzo Amore.
But
he was obviously a lot smaller in figure compared to the other people.
I like Baltimore Beast.
Baltimore Beast, I agree. I like Baltimore Beast as well. I thought he was good. That was the team we wanted to win, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who that might
be. Oh, yeah.
That might be Mason Martin, actually.
Kids were yelling at the other guy at the other team, Justin Bieber.
Oh, they were? Yeah. Was this also the one where they had the coach on the outside who was wearing the Italian jersey?
And the guy at the wheelchair.
And there was a guy in a wheelchair who was coming around the outside as well, the electronic wheelchair.
Oh, who was the first person to come in?
That I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Baltimore Beast was one of them, I think.
From the other team.
That I'm not sure.
Oh,
because
that's who they were yelling Justin Bieber at.
Damon Price, Hyde, Austin Everett, and Jordan Evans, but I don't know which is which.
Okay.
Because obviously it was the first time we saw them. And I don't have the list of the order they came in.
I don't know.
I know this one specifically because I have two videos that I recorded from this. One was the one where they were stacking each other up. Like, you could see they were going to go for a superplex.
Oh, like at War Games.
Two climbed up and they were going to flip one up, and then another person got between their legs together.
Oh.
And then the whole ring. Oh my gosh. That was a big crash down.
I'm 3-for-3 on War Games. I wanted Undisputed Era to win the first one because they were like faces at that time.
Uh-huh.
Next time I wanted like the War Raiders to win.
Because
they were cool. And now I wanted, like, the Dark Horses team to win.
And they did.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll try and get... Matt doesn't do those predictions because it's NXT, unfortunately. Well, but yeah, that's the way it goes for this. There was quite a few big moves on this one, and they actually said on the Facebook page, this is one that will stay long in the memory. And there were. When you got that many people in the ring, 8 people, you can get some serious maneuvers sort of combined. And I know I posted a few of these on Facebook as well. Oh, there was the other thing, talking about videoing. Like, I recorded clips on this. No mention at the start, like, make sure you're not filming anything.
Oh, yeah.
There was one person had it on FaceTime. I said, hey, look at that guy over there. And you could see he was holding the camera.
I just saw, all I saw was that. I saw that before, but I thought he was just talking to somebody else. Like, his mom was talking to somebody else. But it was
He was definitely showing someone the whole match on his phone. A lot of people around were just filming everything.
That's smart.
Well, you said it saved some money. I guess it did. I would
it
not want to
like
watch.
$30.
I would not want to watch a match through a phone, personally. I would rather be there.
You could cast it.
I don't know. Nobody said anything about it. They obviously don't mind. Because like you said, why wouldn't they just watch it on TV? And I was like, well, you can't. It's not like I'm Powerbomb or anything.
I don't think it
if
is.
If you're not there, that's it. I don't think they... I didn't see DVDs for sale.
Yeah.
It's not being streamed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that's why you don't care.
But so, yeah.
So it gets the word out more.
I guess so.
And it's free anyway?
What do you mean it's free?
Like...
What's free?
Like, you don't have to pay for anything. Like, but it's... You're not, like, losing money on your account?
Unless people decided not to come and just watch what they were promoting. I don't know.
Like,
now, I understand it's different from Nova Pro because there is a TV product.
Yeah,
there.
And you get money from that, but you can't gain anything.
You're not
from
gaining
that
anything. It was just for a friend.
People just watch that on the. When they record it, they just watch that instead of Powerbomb.
Mm-hmm.
But on this, they watch that. But because there is nothing on Powerbomb or any of that. So it's like free advertisement.
It gets the word out, and I'm sure that's part of it. And I know I posted a couple of clips. I tend to like keep them at 6 seconds. I try not to do anything more than that. I try not to do the finishes as well, because that gives... Although I think for this one it doesn't matter, because for that same reason we just talked about.
Oh yeah, the longest thing in the ring was probably the Benjamin Banks moment, when he was like fighting with Diamond Victor Griff in the 7.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my longest video. It was 14 seconds.
I had a long
one.
But
all they were
doing
was talking, so.
Correct. Because you were waiting, like, what's going to happen?
And, like, my longest one is Hornswoggle.
Mm-hmm.
It was 24 seconds just because it was just his entrance, though.
Uh-huh.
And
I
have
that's different.
I don't
as well.
Think I've ever recorded part of a match where they're actually fighting.
Okay.
I've recorded
and you normally leave that to me as well.
Setup.
Yeah, I think that's different. But yeah, I remember one match as well. There was 4 kids. There was a woman who came up next to them and just, like, filmed the whole match. And there was people behind us who were filming the whole match. And yeah, nobody seemed
to
mind.
Oh yeah, I saw
but...
that same woman with somebody else. With
okay.
the merch table. I think it was her husband.
Oh, she might have been recording
that
then. Now, that reminds me of one other thing. And I'm not sure if we've got to this match yet. This might be the next match. There was one who was filming, like, Tyler Breeze. Because he had his camera out. And then he gave it to somebody else.
Oh yeah, that was hijinks, I thought.
Oh, was that hijinks?
Because he was periscoping his last match.
Because it was his last match. Okay, that makes sense. And I just thought of one more thing, and now I just lost my train of thought a little bit. Oh, that was it. The person who was filming it properly outside, and the person who was taking the pictures, same guy.
Oh.
He had the video camera, and he
nice.
Had the actual camera. I'm
so
like, how
put
difficult
one on top
is
of
that?
Another.
That was really difficult. Later on that Italian match that we just talked about, I noticed there was one guy who was just filming with a video camera. But yeah, trying to film and take camera pictures.
I would put one
pictures,
on top of another.
It was kind of, yeah, you could do with some sort of hold. That would be a holder that can hold them both. That would be really helpful. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. But no, I really enjoyed the War Games match. I think that was probably my favorite match, except for some perfect moments in the very last moment, in the last match. But overall, for a whole thing, I like the War Games match.
I honestly probably like the first match the best.
Oh, the Inside Out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. Especially...
I like the novel factor.
I think the hospital dude was my favorite person.
Okay. All right, match 2 is the Grimy Scots versus Max Morrison and Kevin Mears. This was a rematch from the Sweet 16 tournament. Max Morrison and Kevin Mears won in the first round. Now, at Rage in a Cage, Grimy Scots lost to the War Pigs, and Max Morrison was actually part of the War Games. Yeah. You could remember you saying, oh, where are you going to put the second ring in? But it wasn't an NXT War Games thing. Kevin Mears actually set up his Twitter in January 2019. You know how we talk about people that don't use it very much? He has one tweet. He thanked Mike Quackenbush for doing a... You know how he does his seminars and tells you how to be a better wrestler? That's his only tweet.
So, I forgot his name.
Kevin Mears
and Max Morrison is noise pollution.
Oh, they are?
Yeah,
oh,
they
I missed
it
that
on
part.
Their trunks.
I remember seeing that now, actually. Yes, I totally missed that part.
So noise pollution attacked Grimy Scott's as soon as they get into the ring. And then Haymitch, he gets thrown outside and then he hits the cameraman. And then I think this is the first time out of two times that the cameraman gets hit or drops the camera.
He dropped the camera?
No. He just kicked it. But another time the guy just dropped the camera after it got kicked. Ouch. But it didn't break. And the Grimy Scots, they win with the running neck breaker.
Now, you actually missed a bit, which I thought you were going to mention, which is why I was going to hold off on this part. I normally do the introductions and let you do the match. We bought streamers for this one.
Yeah.
We bought the flag as well. Jackson loved waving the flag. There is a few pictures posted of us on Facebook holding the flags, and the guys could see us. We were waving the flag. And we asked, can we bring the streamers? And they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds fun. We were the only people with streamers.
Yeah.
And we nailed it. I threw one, and we got a couple, and it went straight over. I'm trying to remember which one it is. Hamish's shoulder?
I sort of nailed it.
Uh-huh.
I put it like 5 inches in front of Hamish, mm-hmm. and Hamish caught, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Hamish caught it, and then he just threw it over there.
It was still good. I got one, you can see it's draped over his shoulder, and he was liking it, and it did look really good. And he's there celebrating with it. I think it looks cool when you get the streamers
and
to
Jackson
land on
them. And Jackson was on the
roof. But as soon as they're doing that, he's still up there, and he's waving to the crowd in front. They got tacked from behind. So I'm like, oh no. I was like, please tell us we didn't cost them the match because of that. But anyway, they managed to incorporate it into the match, but... yeah, we get to see those guys quite a bit soon, actually. They're going to be at Primetime Pro, and they're also going to be at Flying V as well. So we get to see them a couple more times.
I think the guy at Nova Pro who has, like, the briefcase, and you said his gimmick is with the body bag.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you should, like, wrap him, like, mummify him with the streamers.
It's actually tempting, and I haven't told you yet, because we're still looking at what the traffic's going to be like today. We might actually go see Mr. Grimm tonight.
Oh.
There is a possibility. He's like 90 minutes away. I saw on Buff Ref's Twitter feed that there's an event going on near Richmond. It's not an organization I know. I think it's like a fundraiser or something.
Yeah.
I was like, if we're not doing anything anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw on the poster, and I saw, you can see the back of his shirt, and it says Mr. Grimm. So we might possibly go see that, so... All right, match two. Tremor versus Max Morrison. Now, KR Superstar actually introduced Tremor as being on a one-day release from a psychological institution in Orange County. Because he said Max is Mad Max, so he needed somebody equally mad, so he picked that guy out as well. Now, there was a Twitter post, and I've kind of mentioned this before. Max Morrison was talking about how Orange County sucked. There was videos there. He was actually in some barn at one point, and then somebody came out with a gun. I think they said it was Mr. War. Not sure who Mr. War is. I think he's a local farmer, as far as I could tell.
Oh, so it was staged?
Looked like it. I think if it's not, it's pretty bad. If he just walked into somebody's barn and he was trespassing, he probably got lucky he didn't get shot. All right, go ahead. We've talked about both of these two people before as well, so what have you got for this one?
So Max comes out with three signs. One 4-H champion.
Mm-hmm. You know what 4-H is? That's like the agricultural... competitions are, so it's like the best cow on show and that type of thing there. So that's what the 4-H stands for. I'm sure it's an abbreviation, but I don't remember what it stands for.
Inbred trash.
Inbred. And I think everybody thought to begin with that he was saying he himself was inbred trash, and then he was like, no. He's saying that he thinks people from Orange County are inbred trash, which is why he was getting his heel work. But I misunderstood that sign to begin with.
And then the third one, he never actually showed us.
I couldn't see what it was. Yeah, I couldn't see. At one point, it looked like he showed the far side of the crowd, but I couldn't actually see what that was. But that looked like more after the match anyway for this one. All right, what do you got?
I know it's disrespectful to take off Luchador's mask.
Mm-hmm.
Is it disrespectful to take off one that's like Tremors?
I don't know. You asked me about that, because I thought you asked me. It was kind of loud there, because you were asking me questions, and I'm like, I can't hear. It was really loud. Because I think you asked, is he a luchador? I was like, oh no, he's wearing a mask, but I don't think he's a luchador. So I'm not this sure the distinction on what a luchador is. I'm not sure if it means that they're, because you know luchador's Mexican, right? Or it's then the wrestler's from Mexico, because it's a Spanish word. So I'm not sure what that one is. The only comment I wrote down for this one is, there was huge chance for Tremor. 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 And if it died down, it started up again pretty good. I think KR Champion started it to begin with, but then after that, the crowd did it pretty organically.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't have the ending. I think I missed it.
Why?
I think I forgot to write it down.
Oh, interesting. There was a few things I was like, you're not going to write that down? I was like, oh, you know. I think a finish would be kind of an important one, right? Who won?
Nobody.
Nobody won, Jackson? Here, help him out. Who won?
I think it was...
Tremor won? I don't think he did. I thought
I think it was Max Morrison.
I thought Max Morrison won, to be honest, on that one.
It was.
Yes, he won. I don't remember how he won. I got a nice picture of Max Morrison doing a few of the moves for this one on picture form. But yeah, I think that went against what KR said, because his main aim was to basically beat Max Morrison, and he had a plan, but he wasn't going to say what it was. So anyway. Then went to match 6, which was the Battle Royal, which was pretty much everybody. Joe King, Jason Raddatz, Anthony Atom, Tremor, Porkchop, Max Morrison. And it said that was it, but then Ethan Cross actually came in as well, even though he wasn't announced. Yeah. Jackson, anything from the Battle Royal, the over-the-top Battle Royal, the $10,000 Battle Royal?
Ethan Cross went in,
mm-hmm.
and then after Ethan Cross went in, earlier through the match, LeJuan came in.
And, DeJuan came in later, didn't they? So we'll talk about that one probably a little bit later. All right, Mason, give us some more details
for this
one. So they
team up on Mad Max and Ethan Cross. They join forces and they team up and, they start... They eliminated Porkchop.
Mm-hmm.
And then, And then they, Jason Raddatz and Anthony Adams, they eliminated each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tremor.
Those two went straight at it again. Even though they'd had a match at the start, those two went straight for each other. Joe King and Tremor, who are actually tag team partners as well, those two went at it for a little bit as well. So it was kind of interesting, some of those little dynamics in this match.
And how they got eliminated, Anthony Adam, Jason Raddatz,
mm-hmm.
They were wrestling on the outside.
They were wrestling on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably not a very good idea.
There was one thing on the last match that I forgot to add. So, DeJuan, he was, entering the ring. And then I threw the streamer, and then he moved right to the turnbuckles. And it would have been perfect. It would have been right over his shoulder. But then he just ran to the turnbuckle as soon as I throw it.
All right, well, as we're talking about streamers, because I forgot it. All the kids next to us wanted to throw them pretty much straight away. We did, because it was Anthony, because we knew it, and Jason as well. My streamer hit Anthony in the side of the head, so apologies
for that. He was still wearing his helmet.
He was still wearing his helmet. Obviously, if you can take a superplex from the top rope, you can probably take a streamer in the side of the head, but it was kind of embarrassing. I was trying to throw it over his head. I got the aim right, it just didn't go. I didn't get the trajectory right.
I don't feel bad
about
hitting Chez in the leg anymore.
Oh, mine unrolled, though. Yours just threw the whole streamer. That was a little different. All right, take us through the rest of this match, Mason.
Okay, so it's Tremor and Joe King team up against Mad Max and Ethan. And then Ethan Cross gets eliminated first. And then Tremor and Mad Max are, tied up in the ropes. And then Joe King just carries them over.
Uh-huh. And Joe King was the winner. But that certainly wasn't the end of this match, though.
And then DeJuan comes out, and then he, helps, Mad Max, Joe King fight off Mad Max and Ethan Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mad Max, he just ends up lying in the ring for, 20 minutes after the event.
And KR Superstar came out as well, and he said that was his whole plan the whole time, that he wanted to take out Max Morrison, and that's exactly what he got to do. And there were several people. I think Tremor was part of it as well. I think there was Tremor, DeJuan, Joe King, and Chaos Superstar. So there was 4 people. Chaos Superstar said on Facebook later, "Once again, I proved to be the Nostradamus of wrestling. Lights out, Max." And he was. He was down for a long time. Even though we were going to see DeJuan tomorrow, the next day in North Carolina as it was, he didn't want to leave until he got a high five from him because he saw him coming around the outside. And Max just left there, just lay there the whole time. And finally, as we were up the hill leaving, Max started to roll out the ring, I think, at that point.
I saw him get up.
You saw him get up? Alright, talk us through the 2019 Liberty Lottery, Mason, because you said you weren't writing stuff down for this, or you weren't writing everything down.
Nothing.
So let's see.
One thing.
You wrote one thing, okay.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember all the people. I know Max Morrison came in pretty early. I think the first person who was in was Brandon Scott, who you actually got his autograph at the last event. I think he was the heavyweight champion at that time. He lasted a little while. Max Morrison came in, so we were rooting for him as we had his autograph today. Also, Joe King was there, who we know. And it wasn't Tremor. It was Demented Brad. Because that's his handle on Twitter, I think. So he came in with a different character. So people started to team up a little bit. And actually, Max Morrison lasted a long time. And then around 14, that's when the members of his tag team came in.
The Sanctuary.
And they came in 14, 15, 16. So they're all together.
At this point, Wes Danger Rogers is already there. Livid came in at 19. Timmy came in at 20. And there was one more person they could have kept in. Oh, that was the point. I thought when there was... So there was all five members of the Sanctuary. There was the two members of Simply Safish and Max Morrison. I thought they should have kept Max Morrison in at that point. And they chose not to. Actually, I think some of them have been eliminated. Perhaps it was three on... Was
five.
It three? All five of them still there?
Yep, three on five.
So instead of having five on three, they decided to make it five on two. It quickly got narrowed down to... Actually, Max Morrison came back in again. He landed on the ramp. And I don't think that was out, though. That counted as an out for another person. So either the ref didn't see it and he got back in. I know he helped a little bit. Eventually, it got down to Livid with two other people. All right, match five was Mad Max Morrison versus Sledge Gibson. So Sledge Gibson won his first round match, and that's why he was facing Mad Max Morrison in this one. Now, I've actually got something from a podcast of somebody we talked to, Intermission, Leveling Up with Benjamin Banks. October 28th, tomorrow is the final episode of Banks and Trav's Tales from the Podcast. We'll have at Mad Max NP back to finish our discussion on our favourite horror movies of all time. Make sure you tune in. Now, I've also got from GrewMonkey.com, Hello, Gruelings. Today's celebrity picks is a newbie to the horror world and movie world. He's a pro wrestler as well. His name is Max Morrison. Max can be seen in a new horror movie coming soon called Death Boy. They mentioned that. They mentioned the fact that when we were talking to him that Max is an actor now as well, and he appears in horror films.
I want to watch that.
So he actually, I looked him on IMDb. He actually has, I think it said, four movies. Two of them aren't out yet, and two of them he's actually finished. Also, which was kind of interesting, it says he's performed drums in many bands of various styles since the age of 18, including cosplay adventure rock band, I don't know how you pronounce this, Iron Strife. Now, I found some of their videos on YouTube. I could not see Max Morrison playing drums. Now, obviously, it didn't say he played for them all the time. I don't know when he played for them. I found some videos for 2014. I found those ones. He wasn't playing that. Wow, Max Morrison's really cool. He plays drums in a band. He's a horror film actor. And he's a wrestler. I'm like, one of those three would be pretty cool. He does three out of three. So that's somebody we'd like to... I'd like to pick Max's brain a little bit more as well, knowing some of that stuff. I guess I need to listen to that episode with Benjamin Banks. I don't think I've listened to that one, so...
So Max took Sledge right out of... And suplexed to Sledge. And then they're filming with the drone. They started having a camera on the drone, and then they...
That was more interesting than the match at one point. Yeah. We were like, whoa, look, there's a drone. And it was like, whoa, it's hovering. It was like, really cool. And then they left it alone. And I was like, oh... I'm like, are they filming from that? I started watching that for probably about a minute or 2 minutes.
Max had a chair, and then in the Sledge, he kicks it into Max's head for a win. And then Max, he strangles the unknown.
He is Mad Max, after all. So Sledge made it to the final, so he's already faced two matches. All right, match two was Max Morrison versus Ethan Cross. And as you didn't even remember Max Morrison was in this match when I mentioned it to you, I'm going to guess you don't remember anything about this one either.
No, I thought it was Timmy Danger.
That's coming up. Max now, I have to say, when we originally wanted to record this, probably like 2 or 3 days after the event, which would have been sensible, I could go through the match because it was six matches. And in my head, I could remember match one, match three, four, five, six. And I couldn't remember what match two was at that point. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go back and look to see what it is because I didn't write it down. So, yeah, I'm going to be honest. I am really struggling for this one. The only thing I do remember, because what I told you at the time, is Ethan Cross sells better than anyone I know. Like, he really puts the other person over. Like, one of the flips he got, he put in, like, an extra jump in there or the extra bumps that he takes to make the other person look really good. And as soon as I told you that, Max Morrison did exactly the same. Like, Ethan Cross was getting beat up pretty badly in this one. And then Ethan kind of reversed it. He started getting some moves in, and Max did the same thing. And that was the thing I remember most about this match was how committed the other person was to making the other wrestler look good. And I think that's... And it's kind of a shame then, having said that, how good they did a job of that, that we don't actually remember any specifics for this match. I'm going to call Max Morrison for the win, though, even though I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember one of the matches. I was just like...
Well, we're going to do all of them, so when we get to that match, how about you save it for then?
I don't remember which one, but I was paying attention to the match, doing, like, my type of wrestling, that how many points you get.
Uh-huh.
And the loser actually got more points than the winner. But if you take away the pin, then the loser actually got more points.
Okay, well, that happened in one of these six matches, but we're not sure which.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/